back to the show. Evan Bray, good to have you here. We're still getting a lot of texts, people texting in all of the rain. We're hearing and seeing numbers like 5 inches, 7 inches in the last week, in some cases in a 2 to 3 day period. And that rain, like I said, is not ending today. In fact, it will, for much of the province, go through Canada Day tomorrow and maybe even a little bit later into the week. Clears up a little bit as we get closer to the weekend. Well, in this next segment, we're going to talk about resilience, recovery, the power of refusing to let life's toughest moments define you. My guest is a Regina author by the name of Kelly Kotzer, who has just released her new memoir called That One Night, a brain injury survival story that will soon be available on bookstore shelves. It is available now online. In this book, Kelly shares her journey after surviving a devastating car crash at just 17 years of age. 30 years later, she's a registered psychiatric nurse. She's an author. She's an advocate. And of course, she's got a great family as well. And I'm very happy to welcome Kelly Kotzer to the studio. Kelly, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Regina, home for you? You're born and raised in Regina?
That is correct. Spent 47 years here almost.
Well, congratulations on this book. We'll get into the process of writing a book, because I know that in and of itself, if that's not your kind of your career, you've got a full career as a psychiatric nurse. This is something you're doing on the side. It's a lot. So I look forward to chatting with you about that. But let's talk about your life, because it is your life that you've captured in this book. What inspired you to write this book? What is your story?
Well, after the car crash, I received a traumatic brain injury, and I really had a difficult time with everything to begin with, obviously. And reading other survivor stories and going to presentations put on by survivors, I found it very helpful, knowing that, like, the thoughts and feelings and emotions that you're going through, even though they're not what everyday people experience, but it was normalized putting it through what another survivor had gone through,
right?
That they'd experienced similar feelings and thoughts and emotions, because it's really, especially being 17 when I was injured, it was really devastating. I was in my grade 12 year, had my life ahead of me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
can you talk about what happened on that night?
So I was in grade 12, and I was a great student. School was easy for me. I was a 90 average student, played lots of sports, hoped to get a scholarship kind of thing. Went out one night after our Halloween dance, and the one individual who knew where the party was, I'm like, hey, this individual looked a little intoxicated. I'm like, get in the car with me. No, God, drive my car. I'm like, oh. So me being the smart 17-year-old I was, thought that I could prevent an accident if I got on the passenger seat. That is not the case. Please don't ever do that to anybody. So I got on the passenger seat, and we ended up driving down 4th Avenue at 120 kilometers per hour on the wrong side of the road and ran into a half-ton truck. We were driving an 84 Nissan Sentra. So a little car hits big truck.
Boy.
Both cars were going 120. Neither vehicle hit the brakes, according to the cops.
Mm-hmm.
And both drivers were drunk. I was the sober passenger. Took 3 jaws of life to get me out of the car. First two broke in the process. Wasn't breathing when the first responder got to the scene of the accident, who happened to be my brother's friend's dad, who was a firefighter at the time.
Mm.
So went to the hospital, parents were called, hey, come on down, your daughter likely won't make it through the night. I did. I was in a coma for 3 days, on a respirator for 4, woke up with a severe diffuse traumatic brain injury, which is, a brain injury is a bleed on the brain, not just a bruise. There was a lot of swelling, woke up, had no memory at all, didn't know who my parents were, didn't know who I was.
Wow.
Was in the hospital for 3 weeks in Wascana Rehab for about 4. Went through occupational therapy, physiotherapy, having to learn how to walk, talk, and basic things. Like, I didn't know to chew before I swallow. Like, I had to be reminded to sit down. And, like, just basic things like that. Or I was in the tub, and I went, put my head on the water, and then I almost drowned because I forgot to hold my breath. And, like, just basic innate things were gone for a long time, and went back to high school, graduated with my class, even though they said I wouldn't.
Wow. So
yeah.
did you have to, like, did things come back to you, or did you have to learn them again?
Or some things I had to learn, and some things came back. My memory, I had to work really, like, yes, it came back a little bit, but my short-term memory was very, very, very poor. I couldn't, like, someone would be talking to me and I'd forget what the beginning sentence was and things like that. So a lot of work on a lot of work on my memory, and going to school is one of the best things for it, really, because the more you work your brain, like any muscle, the more you work it, the better it gets, right?
Right.
So although it was really difficult.
Yeah, well, I can only imagine. We're chatting today with Kelly Kotzer. She is a registered psychiatric nurse, Saskatchewan author. The book is called That One Night, A Brain Injury Survival Story. It is Kelly's story from when she was 17 years old, involved in a very serious car accident. What you touched on this, but what is severe diffuse traumatic brain injury? What does that mean? What does that tell us?
All right, so it was severe because it was very bad. It was diffuse because my entire brain was damaged. There was some, the bleed was on my frontal and temporal lobes, but because it was my brain bounced in my skull so severely, like there was such an impact because we were going 120 kilometers per hour with the that my entire brain bounced around. So my whole brain was damaged. My head was swollen with the excess because it was a closed brain injury. So there was my skull was not cracked.
Okay.
There's no word for the excess cerebrospinal fluid, which builds up to
swelling.
Right.
Yeah.
And my parents said my head was the size of a football. It was huge initially, which was really frightening. And like I had 150 stitches in my, no, 300 in total, 150 in my face, 300 in my head,
Jeepers.
50 in my lip. And it's traumatic because it was a traumatic, accident. It was also acquired because I was under the age of 18.
Mm.
So how
is this, like, obviously the recovery from that, you've given us a bit of a glimpse, mm-hmm. and I know in the book you go into great detail, mm-hmm. but how does this impact your entire life? You've had, you know, many people on the outside looking in, very successful life. You've mm-hmm. got a great family. You've got a great profession, registered psychiatric nurse. But how have you had to navigate life with this?
Well, I went to school for a really long time. They said I would never graduate high school. So that was initially my goal, was to graduate with my class. I didn't want to have to go back, and I did manage to graduate with my class. Not with a great average, only a 77, but you know, it's better than.
It's remarkable though. It's remarkable when you know the story.
Oh, yes. Yeah. But, and then going to university was difficult, and I only took 3 classes a semester. I was never able to hold a full load. And like the changes from when I started university in 1997 to when I finished university in 2016, yes, I went for 19 years, never full time, got married and there, had kids, worked, mm-hmm. but initially I couldn't. Initially I stayed at home, like I lived at home still. I took 3 classes a semester in the spring, in the winter and the fall, took 1 or 2 in the summer and spring. I volunteered. I worked mm-hmm. in the summers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Until the end of it, where I was able to hold a casual position, and
sure.
I had three kids under the age of 5 in nursing school. Mm-hmm. In the end, so like I recovered, but the most, a lot of resources. My family are amazing. Without mm-hmm. them, I'd probably be dead. Always.
Yeah.
And at times, it didn't seem like they were being helpful. You know, when you're 18, 19,
sure.
20 years old, and they're like, "Yeah, you can't do that." It's like, "Well, mm-hmm. yes, I can." "No, you can't, Kelly." "Well, yes, I can."
What about, Kelly, you've talked a lot about the physical journey to healing, and part of that was, you know, retraining yourself and understanding some very basic things. But what about the mental health recovery of this? Because I can only imagine that was a journey to get yourself, and maybe even today it's a work in progress. What has that been like?
Oh, your mental health is extremely affected. You go from being one person to being a completely different person. That was one thing my parents, doctors, friends, you know, would refer to me as the old Kelly and the new Kelly. And at the time, it really, really upset me because sure. I was still Kelly. And with the brain injury, the part of your body that tells you your body is broken is
mm-hmm.
broken. So you know that you have a brain injury because people keep telling you have a brain injury, but you're still you and you're still
right.
functioning. And
it doesn't feel different.
No. And like, even having some body dysmorphia, I gained quite a bit of weight afterwards. I wasn't able to play sports for a long time. And that used to be, I was very
active.
That was
a big part of your
life. Yeah,
that
was a huge part. That was my life, was athletics. And all of a sudden I couldn't, you know, put on a lot of weight really quickly. And so, but didn't see it like that. And I tried to wear the same clothes and, you know, and then mm-hmm. people would look at you and there's people judging you. And then there's other people who are like, well, you're taking advantage of, because I went through special needs when I got my first degree. And well, you're abusing the system because there's nothing wrong with you because you're able
to. It's not visible.
No. Yeah. And I still managed to, I didn't get great grades. Like I had a 60 a 66, I think, GPA, my first degree kind of thing. So never failed a class, but still not very great grades. You know what I mean? Again, for myself, I was my hardest.
Right.
You know, completely.
So was the notion of authoring this book, is that part of the healing journey for you?
Oh, it's huge. Even from the start of that book, it's always been on my brain that I wanted to write a book. I always wanted to help other people. I'm like, if I can help someone else, like these other people help me, I want to do that. And I started writing it July 21st, 2021. And I wrote the book in third person because I could not write it in first person. It's too close to home. It was easier to step back and write about.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I wrote about Freddie was who I utilized. But then when I published, so I sent it to the publisher. And they came back and like, it feels so real how well you wrote this. I'm like, well, it was real. And I was very offended. I'm like, I said there was an autobiography. Right. And they're like, well, if it's maybe you should. And they made some suggestions about possibly either changing it, you see my name instead of someone else's name.
Sure.
Or else writing in first person. And they offered to do it for me, which I thought about. I'm like, no, this is my book. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So it took me 2 months to transfer it from third person to first person. And I was able to do it, though,
good
and it wasn't, it was still difficult because you kind of, you're putting yourself, even though it was about me to begin with, it's now more about me because now it's
There must be a vulnerability.
Oh, completely.
To that.
And it's so raw because it's all about my innermost thoughts and feelings, what I felt when people said this to me or what I did because someone said that to me or what if that, this didn't happen like this? What if I would have done it like that instead? You know, you start to second guess yourself.
Sure.
So yeah, a lot of hard work.
I can imagine. We're chatting today with Kelly Kotzer. She is the Saskatchewan author of a book, That One Night, A Brain Injury Survival Story. It is her story. It is available online right now, correct?
Yes, on the Friesen and Press bookstore right now and on Amazon.
And soon in multiple bookstores across Canada.
They say 2 to 6 weeks for it to be available, like chapters and
local bookstores.
Local bookstores.
That's good.
And libraries too, apparently.
That's awesome. So what is the takeaway? I know you wrote this with the intention of helping people. There may be some people that read this. There will be some people that read this book that won't relate to this, don't have this experience themselves, but there still will be a takeaway for them. What do you hope that is?
Oh, resilience, believe in yourself, be positive, stay motivated. Always have a little bit of spice in your life too. It's important. But, you know, even if you haven't experienced a brain injury, everybody has skeletons in their closet. Everyone's experienced something, you know, but believe in yourself and utilize those resources that are available to you. That's huge too. Like really, if someone's willing to give you a hand or be that friend, if someone just needs to talk, let them listen to you, you know?
Right.
It's important to always believe in yourself. And
how are you doing today?
I'm great.
Life's good.
Life is wonderful.
Working as a psychiatric nurse, which is, gosh, that's a heavy job.
I absolutely love my job. I work in mental health and addictions, and I absolutely love my clients. They're wonderful.
That's good. And family is good?
Family's great.
Yeah.
Husband, three boys. How could I go wrong?
Three boys.
My oldest just got engaged.
Oh, that's exciting.
It is.
Good for you. Well, you are an inspiration. I'm so happy. This is the first time you and I have met, but I'm very honored that you came into the studio willing to tell your story. I can't wait to read the book. It's again called That One Night, A Brain Injury Survival Story. Kelly Kotzer, the author. This has been a great chat, Kelly. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you, Evan. I really appreciate it.
We'll take our break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Yeah, more rain. Yeah, it's expected basically off and on today, tomorrow, probably Thursday as well. Got a couple of texts that came in. Owen with a text here from Crystal Lake. First picture was 8 a.m. Tuesday. So 8 a.m. Tuesday, the picture shows his rain gauge is at 3.5 inches. And then he says the second picture was Monday at 7 a.m., so not even a week later. And it's well over the 5.5 inch mark. So that tends to be the story. I mean, we are hearing from many different places, a total of some places 4 or 5 inches. From Saturday at 6 o'clock in Mooseman, 1.8 inches. Melissa with the text there. Thank you so much. Thank you to everyone who has joined the conversation, sharing pictures of the rain gauge. Those will be flying around on social media over the next few days, and they have been the last little while. I noticed on Facebook, it seems to be the hot topic is sharing pictures of the rain gauges. Hey, by the way, thanks again, Kelly Kotzer, who just joined us, a registered psychiatric nurse from Regina, had a tragic, serious accident when she was 17 years old. Now, some 30 years later, she is a registered psychiatric nurse, put herself through university to do that, has a family, three boys. She talked about her pride there and has written a book of her life story called That One Night, A Brain Injury Survival Story. Again, resilience, recovery, the power of refusing to let life's toughest moments define you. That's what this book is all about. And we congratulate her on that. Canada Day tomorrow. Lots of people have stuff planned for Canada Day. Some people have taken some holidays, whether it's the first part of the week or the last part of the week, hoping that maybe they, you know, extend that weekend into what is going to be a glorious weekend. Well, the first part of the week hasn't really panned out that way. It looks as if we'll get some nice weather. That said, there is lots going on in the province for Canada Day. I was just reading some of the stuff happening in Saskatoon. They've got their fireworks and a full day planned, but they've had to move because of the university bridge being closed. They've had to make some changes to the festivities, predominantly where the fireworks are set off from. So we'll talk a little bit about that coming up after the break. I also want to talk about the events planned tomorrow at the RCMP Heritage Center. In fact, we've got the CEO joining us next. We'll talk about Canada Day and how you can celebrate coming up here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.